Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Wednesday, June 10th. Vols are back on campus. Good news, and I'm kind of surprised. Good news is no Vols tested positive for COVID-19. Well, sorry, no players. There was a graduate assistant that did. And we'll get more into that and kind of talk about how the Vols are going to make sure players, staff, everyone in and around the facility are do their best to take precautions and be safe during this time. Well, we will talk about that here in just a second. But that's good news as of right now. I'm honestly a little shocked when you talk about bringing in 100 to 120 guys from all around the country, and from all different parts. Some places more affected by it and not, and or than other places. It's good news.
Yeah.
So it definitely gives you more hope as a team to not have more guys get it. Obviously, that's the ideal situation if we're talking about sports returning.
Yeah, and that's I think that's the, like you said, a big step, and it you're healthy.
Yep.
You know, you want to be healthy at the end of the season too, but it starts at the beginning of the season. So.
Right, and we'll talk about some other programs that have been at least a little bit affected by COVID-19 as well, because every team is testing as players arrive back on campus. We're talking about football season. It looks like it's happening. Everyone's getting in on the action. You've seen several preseason rankings released. You've seen some teams to look out for. You've seen we talked about the all SEC teams, preseason all SEC teams last week. It seems like football season is right around the corner. I'm definitely getting the itch, getting the urge. Yep. At least you got to, and we're going to talk about some Coach Dougs too. And we got a little bit of that to keep us there. He returned for another season after that very disappointing national championship loss.
So close.
But not ever.
Yeah. Yeah, but not. I tweeted out the Big Howard play.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was.
It didn't feel that close, if that makes you feel better.
Right. But you're like you did, you went all the way there.
You did go all the way, yeah.
And then.
And it was an undefeated season last season, right? Until the national championship.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, there you go. It wasn't quite the same. This season, already too, we're going to talk about that because it's been fun. I'm thinking this might be, unless he wins a national championship, this might be old Coach Doug's last season on Rocky Top.
I think it is regardless.
Yeah, did you see The Rock painted up, fired Dougs after the game? Not really painted, by the way, guys. Don't worry. But, yeah, it's fun to kind of bring all the traditions because, I mean, he's doing the Maxims before the game. So
yeah.
It's kind of fun to see all the normal Vol fan stuff happening with that. It's been fun. I've appreciated it. It's been a good time. We're also going to do a little bit something kind of different, but we've also done this with position previews, but we're going to preview each of the Vols opponents kind of leading up to the season. Now, typically we would do that the Wednesday before the game anyways, but now what we're going to do is we're going to take a look, starting with Charlotte tonight, and we're just going to we're going to look at Charlotte as a team coming into the season. It's going to be a little bit easier for Charlotte, but we're going to talk about where that team could be when the Vols play them, and then kind of where that team may finish the season, looking at their schedule and their conference and whatnot. And if it just gives us a chance, gives you all a chance to kind of take a deeper look at these opponents, because the Wednesday before the game, especially when you're kind of talking about what Tennessee would do, you kind of lose sight of the opponent and you don't get to see them as much. So we're going to kind of take a deeper look before the season so you have an idea of kind of what to expect out of whoever it may be. This week, tonight, it's Charlotte. So we're going to talk about the Charlotte 49ers. I also want to talk about that nickname a little bit because that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't get that.
So
It makes sense in California. It doesn't really make sense.
I read about it, and I still don't get it, but I'm excited to talk about it at least.
Cool.
There's also a lot
so
of...
So at least there's like some sort of explanation?
There is an explanation, and then there's something that I think they should shift the explanation to that they've been like, nope, that's just coincidence.
Okay.
So, but we'll talk about that. We are going to talk all about Charlotte. I think it's going to be fun doing this, just like our position previews week by week and talking about each team before the season even starts. It's a way too early preview, but it gives you a deeper look, so it'll be fun. MLB draft tonight. I think it's MLB draft worth watching, not just if you're a Vol fan, because it's actually like feels like a draft. Whereas the running joke in me and my brothers is the last week night of the MLB draft or last day of the MLB draft, we'd text each other and be like, "Hey, did you get drafted this year?" Because it's like they throw a name and it may be on the board.
Yeah, true.
What did we say? 40 rounds? Is that what it was?
Yeah, something like
so 40 rounds down to 5 rounds. Kind of seems like an actual draft now.
Yeah.
So.
It's something that Yeah, the top players are going to go, not just, hey, you started on a high school team, you can get drafted.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're going to talk all about that. The Vols getting drafted in the MLB, who they could be, who to look for, and I guess that'll give us a reason to talk a little bit about the baseballs next year and what that roster could look like. What could have been, man?
I'm thinking Omaha. Just like, throwing it out. I'm thinking
next
Omaha.
Next year, I'm saying what could have been this year. Like, would we be in Omaha right now? I guess it would have been last.
I'm going to say yes. I mean, you can't take it away from me. It has been taken away from me. But
you're using the hypothetical and you can't take that away.
Right.
Exactly. No one can tell you no.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. We're going to go to Omaha. Exactly. We're going to win the whole damn thing.
Exactly. I mean, it just felt, and we're going to talk about all the talent on this team, and you really only, you're guaranteed to only lose probably guaranteed one, two guys, three guys probably.
Yeah. I would lean toward two, and from the draft.
Right.
Now there was some seniors and stuff, but they get that year back. So a lot of them probably
potential to return.
So yeah, probably you just lose two guys.
Yeah. The College World Series would have started this Saturday. So stings a little bit. I'm a fan.
We could have went to Omaha.
Yeah.
And then just stayed there for a little while and just made our way down to Norman.
Exactly. It would have been a terrible time to be in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But I mean, Vols would have been winning, so that would have made it worth it.
Right.
That would have definitely made it worth it. And then we're gonna talk some Dougs, and then we've got some segments for you guys. Excited for this episode. Before we get into it though, Landon's gonna tell you guys about our sponsors.
Yeah, so go check out our sponsors, Hound Dogs Bet Now and Tennessee Tap House. Great sponsors. Love that they're part of the show. So go check all those babies out, and we'll have some more giveaways here when the season gets closer. Some bigger ones, not just the $25 gift certificate. We got some bigger ones on the way, so keep an eye out for that.
And go ahead and go make your account now, because anytime you make that account, you're into the giveaway.
Yeah.
So go head on over to volunteerroadshow.com, make that account. You get access to all of our content. You get it's a great little website that you can talk to us on that platform alone, and everyone else at Volunteer Roadshow as well, and then you get entered to win that giveaway.
Yeah, absolutely. Go do it.
Go. Now. Let's do it.
Also, if y'all have any questions, feel free to drop those in the chat.
Yep.
I'm checking on Facebook. Kayla's pulling up YouTube. He's also on Twitter as well. So we got all three of those in there. So if you're on any one of those, just feel free to drop some questions in there. We'll get to them. If we don't get to them, then we'll get to them later on in the show when we have the fan questions. But go like, share, retweet all this right now. Let's see who can give me the most likes right now.
Yeah, do it. So just say how many times you can hit the
Like button.
See if I can win it. So we're talking about the Tennessee COVID update as the athletes have made their way to campus. I think Tennessee said something like 80% of their athletes were already back on campus.
Yeah, so I think all the scholarship players are on campus. So it's 91 players are on campus. And they did the nasal swab test. They did the antibodies test, and not one came back positive. So that's
And I guess we haven't heard about the antibody test.
Right.
I guess they which I don't know if they would release that information because it's not really, I guess.
Mean anything?
Yeah, because apparently too, I was reading that it's not as accurate as the actual test.
Like, okay.
It doesn't necessarily. It's not always true. So
because it doesn't touch your brain.
I guess I don't know. Yeah, probably. But I mean, no athletes tested positive. That's a good sign. That means everyone's working out right now. Everyone's healthy as far as what the main concern is right now. And then you did have a grad assistant that tested positive. I am curious what his level of interaction was prior to being quarantined. I don't know if he was showing symptoms and they quarantined him immediately or if they waited 6 days before his test came back. That is a concern, I feel like. I don't know if I didn't see anywhere where they said when they were able to quarantine him, when they knew he either had it or potentially had it. So I think that is a little bit of cause for concern. Good news is, and we were just kind of talking about this with the MLB players, is that college, at that age, they're likely to not even experience symptoms at all. So when you talk about the health of athletes, obviously there are some guys that have underlying health issues that you want to make sure are safe. And I think Tennessee seems to, when you talk about Phil Fulmer, was one of the guys that wanted to be cautious coming back anyways, I imagine they're taking all the caution, all the precautions necessary to not only make sure that the student athletes are healthy, but also that everything can try to do it so everything can get back to normal as well.
Yeah, and they're bringing people back in waves, so this is a good start to, you know, you have these 91 that are already, I guess, good to go.
Right.
And then you bring in another wave, make sure they're good to go. So I like kind of how they're doing it in waves. Get the scholarship guys in here, get them ready to go. You know, hope for the best, and you got the best.
Right.
You know, like I said, a healthy team is a winning team.
That's, I mean, yeah, 2015 and 16. Yeah. And then you look at it around in the SEC, you've seen other teams release their you know, test numbers. I think Alabama had 5 players. Auburn had like 3 test positive. I don't know. I'm curious to see. And they might, I don't know if they released their names or anything like that or what parts of the country they were from. I'm curious to see what, you know, is this coming from an area that's not as infected, or is it coming from areas that are experiencing, you know, high infection rates? And I mean, I think that's kind of important to know in terms of how you move forward, because you could have some did they get it while they were on campus, or did they get it back at home? I think that's something that would be that would help the athletic departments moving forward in terms of finding that out.
From what I read, is like none of these players like showed any symptoms.
None of the Auburn and Alabama players. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, that's what I was saying about the Tennessee players too. I mean, in terms of the grad assistant, most of the players, a majority, the age bracket and, you know, their health, what the kind of health they're in, they're not going to show symptoms.
Right.
So that's the,
yeah.
If you're, I guess, know, taking good news over that, you know, that's the good news in that scenario. So yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting way to see it balanced. I mean, and then you've got to think about the staff, and then you got to think about the support staff that are in the facility. You know, who, what are there? Do they have underlying health issues? What are, you know, what are the ages of those people?
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about things like that. I know they're taking, like you said, they're taking a ton of precautions. They're not lifting together as a team, a full team.
Yep.
They're not using the locker room. I'm sure there's other ones that I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But
wearing masks, checking temperatures when they enter the facilities. So yeah, they're. I mean, I don't know what else you could do at that point.
No, I mean, they're definitely doing everything. And that's another issue is with and I think, you know, that's what makes it tough to kind of tackle this disease. There's a lot of people, which I read earlier this week that the World Health Organization is saying now that asymptomatic carriers, I think, are less likely. It seems it's more rare that they spread the disease,
okay,
which is a good news when you're looking at college campuses.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those people that would get the disease would probably be asymptomatic carriers. So they're probably not spreading it to each other in that case. That's been a concern when you talk about opening campuses with 20 to 30,000 students on campus living to get, you know, and then, you know, half of those people living in close quarters with each other, if not more. And, so that's been a concern. So when you're talking about that kind of stuff, and this is going to be a good experiment too for the colleges in terms of you got 100 kids together, and then I think men's and women's basketball teams are returning next week.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, you've got groups, you're going to be able to see kind of what happens when these groups are together, and because they are going to interact more than a normal student body would.
Yep.
So you're going to get a good gauge for kind of what you're dealing with the fall. I mean, yes, it's going to be tough when you jump in numbers, but I think as everything stands right now, you are seeing some places. I mean, Sevier County, for example, they've spiked pretty significantly in the last week. But the good news is they didn't have a lot of positive cases anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say it spiked, it's like it's almost doubled, but it's almost doubled to like 200, I think.
Yep.
So that's you're way in the – it is what it is at this point. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what happens over the next few weeks. It's going to be, you know, hopefully Tennessee. I don't know how often they're testing. If they're just testing when it's symptoms, I don't know. Did they said that?
I don't think I read that. I don't know. Okay. I think we'll have sports. That's I guess most people that listen to this. That's what.
Yeah, I think they care about.
So I think I think sports are coming back.
I think the question now is, do you have sports with fans?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
I think that's the question now. I think you definitely get sports back. It's just sports with fans, I think, is the biggest question.
Yep, and the MLB commissioner, he was mentioning that they asked what's the percentage that we get baseball back this season, and he said 100%. So. At least you'll have sports. I mean, that's the thing right now. Is like
that's a bold claim for him to say when they can't agree on anything right now. The players and
that is a bold claim.
The players' association and the owners.
Which makes me think, like, the conversation between the two, yeah, we want baseball, but we want, you know, there's different stipulations we need to go through to get there. So.
Right. The NBA is, I guess they've agreed to come back, but there's still a lot of hurdles, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't read much on the NBA. I thought it was a done deal, like you said.
But, yeah, but I think there's still I think there's still a lot of questions surrounding it. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see in the next coming weeks. I think they're supposed to finish in like October. Yeah. I think is when the finals mm-hmm. are. So I guess the MLB is willing to push it all the way back to December.
So I think they want to be done. The MLBPA and the commissioner, they had a agreement with like 89 games, and I think that ended sometime in October.
Dang.
Maybe.
When would they have to start to get that in?
I think by July.
And I mean, how many, like, especially when you're talking, I guess pitchers have had to be trimmed. Think about pitchers.
Yeah.
I guess they're probably going to have to expand the roster a little bit to allow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, because I assume you don't have minor league teams playing.
No, I doubt
so it. So I guess you're going to expand that roster to make room for
probably
for pitchers and guys guys to move around for injuries. So yeah. I guess we'll see. That like I said, though, sports coming back. Fans are the only question. And we'll see. We'll know I imagine that decision's got to be made pretty soon, at least, in terms of, the next month and a half?
Yep.
So, we'll see. I'm excited. Sports coming back. I will gladly watch on TV. I know a lot of people are like, that ruins the sports environment. It's far and away better than no sports.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's my thing. I need something in my life, I'll take what I can get.
Right. Some of these same people who are like, I don't want to watch a dude play video games are also saying they wouldn't watch sports if there weren't fans there.
Yeah, that's...
How often are you like, oh, look at the crowd. That's awesome.
Now, I really want to, like save those tweets and, like, actually point it out. Like, no, you can't watch it because it's on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's very true. You should not be allowed to watch if you were against it originally. So, I agree with that. Let's look at the preseason rankings. 247 released their top 25. Tennessee lands inside the top 25. And I found it interesting. They said they were probably one of the more overhyped teams. But they said, and I do kind of agree with the sentiment, they said you can't deny what they did at the end of the season, what Tennessee did at the end of the season. You got to put them there, but with the way the schedule kind of lays out and a lot of questions on the roster, this could be a team that doesn't finish in the top 25.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that, but you look at who's behind us, I'm like, that team's not better than us, that team's not better.
Well,
like, Cincinnati is 25, and yeah, it has to do with the schedule, but if you lose to... So there's four top seven teams that we play.
Right. And I want to mention, as far as overhyped teams go, you talk about the teams behind us. If you look at the teams in front of us, too, let's start at number 15, Oklahoma State. They finished 8-5, which is, what, one better than us?
Yep.
One win better than Tennessee. They played two top 25 opponents, or they only had two top 25 wins. They do return a really good roster, and I think that's why they get the bump to 15. But I feel like that's probably a very similar question to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 16, USC, they return a good quarterback. And that's about it on the
well, so we went offense. 8-5.
Was it 8-5?
Yeah, we went 8-5, yeah.
Well, so even, wow, even, yeah.
even better.
And then USC had two top 25 wins. And then number 19, who I think is the probably most overhyped team in the top 25, that's UNC. They played one ranked opponent. No top 25 wins last year. Went 7-6. Ranked number 19 now.
In a terrible conference.
They played one ranked opponent. That was Clemson. I think they lost by 20.
That's crap.
So, do I think Tennessee potentially could be overhyped when you look at this top 25? Sure. Are there more teams that can be overhyped or just as overhyped? Yeah, absolutely. There are. So, I think that's kind of, you know. And I think Tennessee has the ability to finish. I feel like this raw. I mean, we've talked about the schedule. We went through it the other night or a couple weeks ago, and I like the way the schedule lays out. There's tough opponents. How many did you say? There's four teams we play in the top 10?
Top seven.
Top seven. They're in the top. They're all in the top seven. Yeah. All the ranked opponents on our schedule are in the top seven.
You're right.
And but overall, I like the way the schedule lays out. Now, I don't remember if it was this article or just a tweet I read. Said the good news about Tennessee is you'll find out by like week four if they're the real deal or not.
Yeah.
So you get to find out real early on. You're not marking a week 10 game going, yep, this is it for them. You find out real early on with Oklahoma and Florida early in the schedule.
Yeah. And, you know, Tennessee's got to start off a lot better than they did last year.
Yeah.
Where it's going to take its toll. But they have the returning production, and so our returning production is 50th.
Yeah, I saw that.
I look at one above us, Arizona State.
There's some...
They had a true freshman quarterback last year, and Marvin Lewis is their coach, which we all know who... We all know about Marvin Lewis. And,
no, not Marvin Lewis. Wait, Arizona State?
Oh, Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I was... Sorry.
Both terrible coaches.
Yeah, yeah. Not a playoffs. But their returning production is 72nd.
Yeah. There was one ranked above us. I think they were ranked above us. That was like 103rd or something like that.
So UCF is 38th. UNC is 18th. Maybe Minnesota's 86th. How's Minnesota on here?
I get them being in the top 25. I mean, they almost... They could
Michigan's 125th.
That was it. That was them. Okay.
And they're number 17.
As much as it sucks that Minnesota's ranked not only above us, but in the top 25, I do get it. And I feel like it's easier...
Are they the team in the opposite of Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State?
I want to say yes, because didn't they lose?
That would make more sense. But if they have to play those three teams, there's no way.
See, they don't. They definitely don't have to play those. So, yeah, I guess. Let me look. I feel like they lost two games last year. Did it say what their record was? And I think they were the. I think they played Penn State in like the final week, and then lost.
That's right, because they wanted. Is that the one where ESPN or College Game Day was going to get?
And
they
were real upset about it. Yeah. So they're not in the East Division. Yeah.
Okay.
Which I thought they had like. I thought they were the Big Ten had like the champions and the. Didn't they have a funny name for them? I don't remember. So they didn't even get to go to the... Never mind, they didn't get to go to the championship, it looks like. Unless they... Surely they wouldn't get bumped behind.
Oh, so they don't have to play Penn State or Ohio State this year. That's why they're so far up there. The only team they have to play is Wisconsin and I think Michigan. And Iowa comes to them. So...
Did they lose to Iowa? Is that what it was? They lost to Iowa last year?
Yeah, I think so. But one thing I want to point out is, like, they call us, like, the overhyped team. But look at... Like the teams that are receiving votes, Iowa,
yeah.
Indiana,
no,
Louisville, Washington.
Both these are all outside the
Miami, Nebraska, Kentucky, Memphis. Yeah. Like we're better than all those teams. So
I would think so.
How are we overhyped if we're at 22 and the teams behind us are a lot worse than us?
I definitely understand the caution. I mean, I'm not willing to call Tennessee overhyped. Because I thought, we're looking at the preseason rankings, before I even clicked on the article, I assumed Tennessee would be in that top 25 somewhere. I didn't know where. I thought right at somewhere in the 20. Because I think when you talk about those lower level teams, in terms of outside the Power 5, UCF, Cincinnati, teams like that, I feel like preseason rankings, it's hard to put them past 20. I think UCF's 19, right? No, that's UNC. Are they 20?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So I get that. I'm not against UCF being ranked above Tennessee in the 2020 preseason rankings or whatever.
But, yeah. So are they doing like the, are they basing the teams off like last year and like the production coming back? Or are they basing it off the schedule of this year?
I think the way I read this article, and I think Athlon did a top 25, how it would finish.
Okay.
I think this is coming into this year, like week one, here's your rankings. I think, I don't think that's how they would finish.
Okay. I don't know.
Don't hold me to that. I think that's like week one. Here's how we would vote to be your number one.
Right. Okay.
Or I mean, 1 through 25.
Yeah, I think 22 is like I feel like I don't disagree with that at all.
Right.
Now some of the ones in front of us, I'm like, yeah, we could probably beat them. But I think 22 is a good spot.
Right. I think it's going to be really – you mentioned – we talked about how there's – so the four ranked teams on Tennessee's schedule is number 3, Alabama, number 4, Georgia, number 6, Florida, and number 7, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Florida and Oklahoma will definitely be ranked in the top 10 by the time we play them. You assume Alabama will. And if Georgia's not ranked in the top 10 by the time we see them in November, they're going to be top 15, top 12. They're going to be right in that range.
Yeah. I want to be where we – when we play ranked opponents, I want to be ranked also.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It really sucks when you're watching on TV and the other team has the little number next to it and we don't.
Well, and you just don't get to talk about a ranked matchup. That's something that...
We want to boost other people's schedules.
That too. exactly. I mean, the issue with always having the toughest schedule in the conference, or the toughest schedule in the country, it means you're probably not very good, because you look at the flip side, and I know Alabama doesn't schedule the easiest out-of-conference opponents, but they also have one of the, you know, middle-of-the-pack easiest schedules in the conference because they beat the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
I would love to get to where we are playing an easy schedule.
Yeah, and I like what you said. Tennessee's going to be tested early. You know, that defense that gave up 15.5 points per game last year is going to be tested with that Oklahoma offense.
Yeah.
And if they come up and hold Oklahoma to 15, 17 points, I think, whoa.
Because who's
going to be able to score on us? If Oklahoma can't score on you, I don't think anybody will besides maybe Alabama. I don't see Georgia scoring a ton of points on us.
I think Alabama's a question mark, too, in terms of offense. Yeah. Their offense production has obviously been better lately, but this season is going to be a very different look than the past 4 or 5 seasons.
And you got to come to us.
Exactly. And then Florida.
No light show for you.
Right. And I think Florida, too, is a good, when you talk about that, you're testing that defense. Florida's returning arguably the best quarterback in the SEC. I realize a lot of that's by default. There's just not another yeah. quarterback left in the SEC. But the fact is, he's one of, if not the best, right now in the SEC yep. as it stands today, in Kyle Trask. So I think you get a good test of that. Defense early, and we're gonna preview Charlotte. And Charlotte, I think, will be a good. And it's gonna be vanilla. It's not gonna look, you know, it's not gonna be a bunch of dialed up blitzes. And but they're returning.
You at least gotta win the damn game.
Yeah, and but they're gonna return a pretty good quarterback that should test you both with his feet and his arm. So I think you get a good look of this defense early. And yeah, I think if you get out of Florida and Oklahoma, and you're still talking about averaging 15, 20 points a game, you could be looking at 2 wins.
Yeah.
Now, going to take a lot from the offense, because I don't know if I – if you don't score 20 points on Oklahoma, hang up the cleats. Like, yeah, that might
yeah,
be
that,
the season.
That, see, that's the other worry. You look at that defense, and if they come up strong, you got a pretty dang good defense on your hands.
Right.
But the flip side of that, if you're not able to score on that defense, Jesus, it's going to be rough.
Right. Who replaces Georgia State on schedule? That's Charlotte. That's the opening game. We're about to talk about them, actually.
I have a question on here, too.
Right. And well, someone said preseason rankings are unbelievable. They never look like that near week 5. Preseason rankings are very difficult.
They don't mean anything.
They don't
mean anything. We talk about stars not meaning anything. Yeah. Preseason rankings do not mean
anything. They mean just about as much. But I think it's a good gauge. And it's one of the reasons why also we're looking at these opponents week by week, because I think it's going to give you a better idea why Tennessee should, you know, because I think as far as the top 10 teams, I think preseason rankings are pretty accurate and pretty. How often are the top 10 teams not in the top 15, top 20 at the end of the season, at least?
Yeah.
So I think when you look at the top 10, it's pretty accurate. Outside of that, yeah, it looks way different at the end of the season, and probably looks way different in week 5, too, when you're talking about 15 through 25.
Yep.
But the top 10, they're going to be in there, hanging around there somewhere.
Right.
So, yeah. And like you said, it does create fun banter. So,
Chad Jinks asked, how do you feel about the O-line this year? I think as good as I've ever felt about an offensive line.
And if Cade Mays gets eligible, even better.
Yep.
So,
and I think he's going to get eligible.
Right.
Bold prediction, he's going to get eligible.
Absolutely. I think so, too.
We also like have one too. More question. Dustin Sellers says, hey, guys, how do you feel about the fact that all teams are missing spring practice? Will our new additions help in that regard? I think you got kind of – it obviously hurts to not right. have spring practice, but guys that were going to be here in the summer anyway, it doesn't really do – I think the only person it really hurts is probably Harrison Bailey.
In terms of being QB1 on day one, yeah. Right. I mean, if he had a chance, it's probably gone now yeah. against Charlotte. Mm-hmm. But, a lot of the majority of the guys, I think we had 4 or 5 early enrollees. So it's not hurting the majority of your freshmen. Now, Jeremy Pruitt will say it every single time. You never take a practice for granted. So you lost 12 practices mm-hmm. or whatever, and two, three scrimmages. And that hurts your team. The good news is everybody missed those in turn. So, I mean, you're not falling behind anybody.
Yep.
That's the good news. But, yeah, it's definitely going to change a lot for it. You know, coaches are going to be evaluating very different in the summer than they normally have.
Yeah, I'll say this. Last year, Henry Toto was a summer enrollee. He wasn't early enrollee, and he started day one. So, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he can that you can start day one and not be an early enrollee.
Yep. It's very true. Good point. Let's look at Charlotte. P. Digits mentioned Charlotte is building. Very young program, but heading in the right direction. That's pretty accurate representation of who they are. They had a pretty solid season last year. They did start off pretty rough, but finished 7-6.
Very similar to Tennessee's schedule.
And when you look at their head coach, Will Healy, I believe is how you say his name. He was at Austin Peay a couple years ago. They were 1-46 before he arrived Austin Peay.
I think they had a 29-game losing streak at one point.
Yeah, man, probably 1-46 in the last 47 games.
Yeah.
And then 7-1, I think, is how he started with him his first year. Let me make sure that's right. But regardless, I mean, a good coach, a solid coach.
He brought in, the number one FCS recruiting class.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, and he had a heck of a season.
Yeah, so Will Healy's got – he's done it at another program at least and kind of turned that around. I don't know what that looks like comparatively speaking to a program like Charlotte.
And I think he's the youngest head coach, or at least one of the youngest. He's only 35 years old.
Yeah, this will be his third season at Charlotte. I don't know what his other records were prior to this season, or last season, I guess. I don't know what that record in 2018 was. But when he was at Austin Peay, it was 8-4 overall, 8-1 against FCS opponents. So he's obviously doing – he's obviously got some talent.
This is his second year?
Third year. So his first year was 2018 at Charlotte. And then he had – I believe that's right. Let me make sure that's right.
I thought it was his second year.
See, I think it has him listed as his second year, but I don't think it's updated.
What's it say, coaching?
Yeah. No, 2019. Okay, so this is his second year. And then also a little coach – speaking of the coaching staff, Montero Hardesty will be his first season, I believe, right, at Charlotte.
Second,
okay. Yep. Second season at Charlotte. Home.
Yeah, as wide receivers coach.
Yeah. And so little Tennessee ties there. He was actually spent some time on this staff before and then obviously graduated from Tennessee in 2009 or played his last season in 2009, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So Montero Hardesty's there. Actually, we talked a little bit about Charlotte unintentionally last episode because I told you that they were on Athlon Sports 2020 Teams on the Rise.
Yeah.
So they've marked Neely and this staff and this program as a team to kind of look out for. From what I can gather, they've got a really good shot of improving. I feel like for lower non-Power 5 FBS opponents, it's kind of tough to really improve on that record. Mm-hmm. That's like because you're gonna play probably two FBS opponent or Power 5 opponents where you get paid to come and ideally.
Your brains beat in. Yeah.
Ideally for the Power 5 school. So I feel like it's really, I feel like you've got two guaranteed losses on that schedule. I don't know if that's fair to call them that. But it's all, I mean,
I can think we call the them best,
guaranteed losses?
The best you can do is like Appalachian State. I mean, that's, you lose those two games, but you win everything else. You get a good bowl game, and, that's probably the.
That's the world of the non-Power 5 schools. Yeah,
that's the best probably you're going to get.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think we've ever seen really like a Power 5 go and I guess UCF, what are the Power 5 opponents that they were beating the year they went undefeated?
I don't think they were. I think that was the issue.
They were non-Power 5. They avoided them.
Yeah.
This year they'll play Tennessee, obviously, Duke, and I think that's it for Power 5 opponents. That is. So, and those are early on in the schedule, so they've got an early test as well. They do return their starting quarterback, Chris Reynolds, and he had 3,000 yards total offense, threw for 2,500, 22 TDs, and 11 interceptions. So it's they do return the focal point of their offense. They did lose Ben LeMay, their running back, and he had 1,300 yards total offense and 13 TDs.
They also lost their best offensive tackle to the draft. Yeah. I think he was a fourth round pick.
So they did lose quite a bit of talent. I think they were listed as one of the better teams that went in and got a good group of transfers. So they got Derek Boykins from South Carolina, Trey Harbinson, he's a running back from Northern Illinois, And I think those two are kind of the big names on the list. And then they've got...
I think Harbinson had like 1,200 yards.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be the starter when he transfers in here. So I don't think they lose a ton at running back when you look at this Charlotte team and maybe even potentially get better. Now, he's transferred from Northern Illinois. He's not a... He didn't come from Power 5 where he rushed for 1,200 yards. Right. So that's good. But I think they've got a good transfer class coming in here that should give them some... I expect those guys that... think everybody, but Harbinson's a graduate transfer, so he's definitely eligible. And then it looks like everybody else transferring from FBI or from Power Five schools, so they'll probably be eligible. So I think I think Charlotte's gonna be. I hope it's not like a test like Georgia State or App State a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But I hope you know it's gonna be good if you play a strong opponent that you should beat week one. That I feel like that's always good. Surely that mistake doesn't get made twice in two seasons. It would blow my mind if that happens. But I don't think Charlotte's also, I don't think Charlotte's as weak as... I feel like Georgia State came in and was kind of able to not necessarily play their game and find a way to beat Tennessee. They had kind of had to go off the cuff and run. It's probably something that was a different style. I think they kept with that style throughout the season, though. So Charlotte might play more to our favor.
Yeah. And I think their defense is going to be... kind of rough. They lose their best pass rusher. He had 14 sacks, 21.5 tackles for loss. That was Alex Highsmith. I think he was a third-round draft pick.
Yeah. And they're, yeah.
And they lose their best DB, who was a Tennessee transfer, Markwell Osborne. Had three picks last season. I don't see their defense being very good.
They're ranked 103rd. They finished the season 103rd anyways.
Yeah.
So.
And they lost their best couple players. So, yeah, yep. That's going to be tough to replace. But like you said, you just hope that this staff just doesn't look like or overlook another opponent.
Right. That
And I think with Jeremy Pruitt, he doesn't – so far he hasn't made the same mistake twice.
Right.
So hopefully and this is a hump for him. He isn't – since he's been at Tennessee, he hasn't won a season opener.
Nope.
Got to win a season opener.
You have to.
And you lose your one to a G5 school. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
If you lose to Charlotte, the hot seats, it's going to be hot.
There's going to be ton. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a ton of very fair questions that are asked. If you lose, like you said, you kind of got your one benefit of the doubt with your loss to Georgia State out of the way. You can't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
But this team has a. I feel like a good opportunity to go in and beat a respectable non-Power 5 opponent.
And I feel like at the end of the last season, I feel like this team kind of got their mojo. They figured out how to win. And now you hope that you're able to keep building on what you did and just beat the – last year you beat the teams that you should have beat at the end of the season. Now you got to go in and beat them soundly.
Right.
Right. And so, Charlotte's no different. I feel like this staff is going to prepare just like it's any other – SEC game.
Yeah.
Got to prepare. Just like if you're preparing for a West Virginia or Oklahoma week one, you need to prepare for a team like Charlotte because you don't want what happened with Georgia State last year.
Yeah, and I want to see, I know I understand a lot of colleges' approaches to games like this, a lot of staffs. I think it shouldn't be I think you have too many questions coming into the season, and it can't be an approach like normal. I think you have to come in and approach it with the thought of kind of answering questions as far as getting prepared for Oklahoma, because you don't go and play UTC the next weekend.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a different question. It's definitely a different thing. Your approach should be a little bit different in this game when you talk about Charlotte. This is week one for Charlotte. I talked about them playing Duke in week three. But I'm curious to see how this team finishes. They don't play App State this year. That was one of their losses on the schedule last year. They do play Georgia State. They play FAU, who I would imagine isn't going to be as good with the loss of Lane Kiffin. I don't know who even replaced him, do you?
No. Probably Charlie Strong or something like that. That guy's like always on the hot seat.
Right.
No matter where he goes, he's always on the hot seat.
It's the Texas trait following him.
Yeah.
And then North Texas, FIU, UTEP after that, Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, Marshall, and Western Kentucky. The good news is if you're talking about strength of schedule, I feel like Tennessee you know, got one of the better non-power five teams you could play without really testing the waters with like a UCF.
Right.
You're not looking at a potential loss in week one. This should be a win. You should. It's that simple. This should be a win and
dominate.
Yep. I do want to. So I said the Charlotte 49ers, how they got their name. It's incredibly stupid. So they
see for some reason this the logo looks like it's something with a horn. It doesn't look like a 49er to me.
It does kind of look like that. but they, I mean, they got their name from the 49ers, from the Gold Rush. I think the school was about to get shut down, and I guess the president at the time, he thought it their spirit to bring the university back to not get it shut down embodied the same spirit of the Gold Rush. Yeah, I'm like, that's who you picked out? Like, were you there? Did you experience
that? Yeah.
This was in 1949, so I guess that helps.
It's so your school was founded on greed. Great.
But I'm just like, I don't know. But anyways, he thought they he thought it embodied the spirit. Then apparently, I don't remember this drive into Charlotte, but apparently, I guess we didn't get off the exit. Is that what it was? So the main campus is right off of Highway 49.
Oh.
And apparently that's a pure coincidence. I'm like, I feel like I would just be like, yeah, that's why we're named the 49ers.
Yeah, yeah. Come up with, yeah, that's a way better explanation than
being the part of the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
So they were also the Owls before 1949 when they changed the 49ers.
Yeah, that's
so,
a cooler name too. A cooler nickname.
They were all, I find this funny. They were the Owls because they were a night school. They're nocturnal. I like it.
That is funny.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, it makes more sense than being the 49ers because you, I don't know.
Because something that happened across the country.
That has nothing to do with it. So, you think high schoolers or high schools take bad logos like and nicknames from people? Yeah, no, that's way worse. So, yeah. I thought that was interesting, though, because I think everybody has always wondered how in the world a team in Charlotte, North Carolina landed on the 49ers. So, now you at least know why. I'm not saying it's right and they should keep it, but you know why now.
Change the name.
I'm with it. Go back to the Owls.
Yep.
We're going back to the Owls.
Have some quick little news real quick. So, Tennessee's trending for four-star tight end Hudson Wolf. Got a little recruiting jab in there.
Yeah.
Getting some crystal balls. It looks like it's between us and Ohio State. And Ohio State's got that number one recruiting class in the country, but no siree. Not getting him out of Tennessee. It looks like he's trending Knoxville, so that's big. And he's big.
Yeah, he is.
6'6", 245 pounds. I mean, we've talked about it multiple times. 2 years ago, we didn't even have offensive linemen that big.
Yeah.
It seemed like, anyway.
And we've got a receiver on the roster right now that's pretty much that big.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be nice, too, if you get a true and talented tight end that can play, you know, in the passing and the rushing game.
Yeah. And then Jalen Johnson announced that he's not headed to ETSU. He's headed to Wake Forest and following Steve Forbes.
I'm glad he got the opportunity. I'm sure it wasn't an immediate thing because you had to look at, what the roster looked like, scholarships available, things like that, when Steve Forbes got the job at Wake Forest. So I'm glad that worked out for Jalen Johnson because, I mean, I'm sure he was going to be coached by, like, he didn't go to ETSU to play at ETSU.
Yeah.
It was to be coached by Steve Forbes. I'm curious to see how he plays at Wake Forest. We heard for 2 years that he was the best player on the roster at Tennessee.
Yeah, Steve Forbes able to get that out of him. I think it's a, if he does, I think you got to be like, okay, can Steve Forbes take over after Rick Barnes?
I was hoping Steve Forbes would stay at ETSU until Rick Barnes left. I was hoping Steve Forbes would be the replacement when Rick,
I'm also when like, Rick's I also time like came. Kim English too. So I mean, yeah. Either one of those guys, I'd probably be satisfied with.
Right, I would agree.
Also, the SEC announced it will hold the virtual SEC media days.
Yep.
So I guess via Zoom.
Sucks for Alabama fans. None of them can attend. Tough to get internet out there. I know. I heard.
God, it's going to take Nick Saban.
Yeah, he doesn't even have an email.
Yeah. That's going to be rough. Somebody's just going to have to, like, go in there with it and just, like, put it on him unexpectedly.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be fun. I mean, first off, why would you – I feel like in this day and age, why don't you just
do that anyway?
Yeah. I guess that's the whole, like, tradition of it.
But, I mean, it's – I guess it, yeah, just has to do with, like, you get to go and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, everybody's watching on TV anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, that's going to make no difference to us, really.
Right. Unless you're an Alabama fan that gets to go and crash a hotel in Birmingham for a day. It's every Alabama fan's dream. We're going to Birmingham to stay in the Marriott.
Yeah, I don't know why it's in Birmingham. Why is Alabama the SEC capital?
Weren't they going to move it to Atlanta? Well, that's where the SEC offices are.
Right. But, I mean, like... So Hoover is the
the
baseball? Yeah, I just don't understand.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap rent there. You ready to go to the draft? You got anything else?
That's all I got.
Anything else extra?
Some quick news.
Well, the draft started. The pick's on Baltimore now. So, let's talk about the Vols in the MLB draft, because you're going to see you've got potential to hear a couple names tonight.
Yeah, I think you'll just hear one tonight. And that's a left-handed pitcher, Garrett Crochet. Only pitched once this season. He had some shoulder soreness early in the season, so didn't really get to see him very much. But the guy's got the stuff. He's a left-handed. I think he's 6'5". Got a high velocity on his fastball, good changeup. So, I mean, he's the absolute real deal. And I think anywhere from about 10 to 20 is where you'll see his name called. And then you have Alex Solari would probably be the next one. He's kind of in that third round range. Preseason All-American, All-SEC last season, or first team All-SEC last season, where he batted .357 with 70 hits, 11 home runs. Started the season off very cold. I don't think he got over 100 on his batting average until the seventh game.
How many home runs did he have early in the season?
So didn't have very many home runs. The last game of the season, he actually had two. He finished the 16 games with 5.
I was about to say, okay, I thought he had 5 in the 16 games. Yeah. So on track to hit more than last year, but
yeah. So
I didn't realize they all came in the last couple.
He got hot toward the end of that there before COVID started. And actually got his average all the way up to .267.
Gotcha.
With 5 home runs. Last game he went 3 for 5, 4 RBIs, and had 2 home runs in that game. Gotcha. I think the last one he hit, I think I tweeted out, he just hit Dollywood.
Yeah, I mean,
because it was a no doubter.
he's got the ability. He led the team in just about every batting statistic last year.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Garrett Crochet, jump back to him real quick. I didn't realize Tony Vitello made a Twitter just to talk about Garrett Crochet. Like, that was pretty much it. So I noticed he did just randomly make a Twitter.
Oh, speaking of balls, Chris Burt.
There you go. About a month ago, I noticed he made a Twitter account, but I didn't realize it was just to
haggle
just
the team.
Just to mention his love for Garrett Crochet. So that's funny.
Yeah. So going back to Garrett Crochet with you. This could be Tennessee's first round draft pick since 2016, when Nick Senzel got drafted number 2 overall to the Reds.
Yeah,
And now he's in the bigs.
Yep.
So hopefully you're able to see. Hopefully he goes to a team where it's a lot easier. You know, I've seen some mocks where the White Sox have him at number 11. I think 14 is the Rangers. I've seen a lot of them. So I think the Rangers would be a great spot.
Yeah.
I don't think the White Sox would be bad either, and that's not a bad place to go watch him play.
Right.
I mean, obviously you'd want to go see the Cubs if you're in Chicago, but hey, I guess if you're going to see Garrett Crochet, you make some sacrifices. But the next kind of guy on that list is right-handed pitcher Jackson Leith, who was a JUCO transfer and then transferred to Tennessee this past season. He was kind of the surprise in that bullpen. He had 5 outings, was 4-0 in those 5 outings. I think he, the one that he didn't win, I think he only pitched an inning. He had 29 strikeouts and just 18.2 innings pitched. And I think his first outing, he actually had 12 strikeouts. So did a heck of a job. And kind of all these guys, you wanted to see, like, what it'd actually be like if they got to finish out the season.
Right.
Especially Garrett Crochet, which he like I said, he pitched one time. Jackson Leith was on a hot streak. He's probably gone for sure if none of this happens. I think all
Jackson Leith.
Yeah. All four of these players are probably gone if this doesn't happen. You have a regular draft.
Vitello mentioned too that Jackson Leith came here to pitch SEC competition.
And yeah,
that just he never got the chance to do that because of the way everything happened. They didn't make it to an SEC game.
Yep.
So,
I mean, I don't know if I see him drafted in the first five in these five rounds. But I think him coming back to Tennessee, I think that helps their roster.
Yeah.
It definitely helps their pitching rotation. And, hopefully he's able to hear his name called a lot earlier next season.
Yeah, I'm curious. That's something we talked about at the beginning of the show in terms of guys that return. You see Solari and Crochet leave, and those are pretty much guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
And, do you think Leith comes back? Where is it projected that he?
I don't. If he's drafted, it's in the fifth round. That's good. I mean, if you get drafted in these five rounds, I think you're gone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing is, when you're talking about returning, you look at typically you have 40 rounds, so you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're drafted doesn't mean you're gone. With this year's draft, if you're drafted, you're gone.
Yeah. And the good thing about going back to school is like you don't lose a year.
No.
Obviously you get another year older, but. You don't lose a year of eligibility in case something happens.
Right.
Having him back would be awesome. The next guy is outfielder Zach Daniels. All the intangibles and finally got it all put together, and then COVID happened. He was batting .357 in those 16 games, which is what Alex Solari finished with when he was first team All-SEC.
Right.
Did a great job this season. He's powerful. I think he's the strongest one on the team. One of the most athletic. He actually in the Round Rock Classic against the number one team in the country. He started off that scoring by hitting an inside the park home run.
Which is insanity to me.
Yeah. So just a solid athlete. And you look at last year, batted .200.
Wow.
Year before that, yeah. Batted .160. He finally put it all together. I think strikeouts was his, just not being able to see. I don't know what the issue was, but mm-hmm. Could not produce at the plate. But whatever Tony Vitello did, he did it right.
Right.
And that's why Zach Daniels had 20 hits, 4 homers, 18 RBIs in just those 16 games. And then was that Round Rock Classic MVP.
Right.
So just a solid player. I think he's the one that you wanted to see that season finish out. For him the most because, he was on his way to be first-team All-SEC, which if you're first-team All-SEC, you're probably a All-American.
Right. That's almost a guarantee.
And you're getting you're hearing your name called.
Right.
Pretty early. So I don't know if he gets drafted just because of the lack of production in his first 2 years and only getting 16 games in this season. But, man, I'd love to have him back on Rocky Top 2.
Absolutely, and a lot of people have mentioned in the chat that, hey, that we missed this college baseball season. I mean, I was very excited to see what Tennessee did. These guys are obviously very talented. It's why you could hear their name called tonight or this week. And but there's also a ton of talent left on the roster. And that's you do have next year to look forward to. That's good.
Yeah.
But it would have been very exciting to see what happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident we would have been farther than the regional this year, or like we were last year. So.
I agree. Man, that's
it's sucks. Tough. It would have been cool to see Vitello build on success. So,
because I was going to go to Hoover, like that was the one thing that I wanted to do this year was go to Hoover. I mean, Omaha would have been great, and if we made it, I probably would have ended up going. But Hoover was definitely on the radar, and I was definitely going to do that. But
I've heard it's one of the more fun SEC weekends that the SEC holds.
We'll have to try to do it.
The baseball tournament. So, yeah, absolutely. It'd be fun, and hopefully.
And there's beer at the stadium, so that's
yeah. Has there always been beer in the stadium?
I don't know.
Is there beer now, for sure?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know because this would have been the first year that they had it.
I mean, it's in Hoover, Alabama. I mean, Jesus, what else are you gonna do?
I know the biggest shock to me when I went to Alabama a couple years ago. 2013, I think. I went to Birmingham, and I can't remember what. Right, like, we went to eat at like a Texas Roadhouse or like an Ocho, like something like that, like a common chain. And we went in, and they asked us if we'd like to sit in smoking or non-smoking. I was like, "What? I haven't heard that in years. So it was funny to hear that. I mean, I don't know if that still exists in Alabama or not.
How old is this place?
Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't think that's a thing anymore. But that was I forgot what smoking in restaurants was like. Ugh. I haven't smoked in a restaurant, but like that's being gross. Around it. Do you remember it being gross though, like growing up? I don't.
I don't remember it, period.
I remember like at one point being asked smoking or non-smoking, but I just don't remember. But the thing is, the whole restaurant smells.
Right.
But I just don't remember it smelling so bad that like...
It affected...
I do remember a couple meals where we would move because we got seated close to like the bar area. I do remember a couple meals like that. But like overall, in the entire restaurant, we ate out all the time.
And yeah.
It never...
I guess it was... Like, I don't remember it as much because my parents, and I don't think your parents did either, smoke. So it wasn't like it was a big deal.
No, but I'm just surprised that it didn't bother us more often.
Right, yeah. I am too, because now I'm like, no, right. Get away
from me. I wouldn't eat.
Even in a bar, I'm like, do you have to do it right here?
Bars don't bother me as much, but like if I go to sit in a restaurant, I don't want somebody smoking around me. So I guess we've been spoiled like that
right.
Lately. I don't know if Alabama's like that. I'm sure it still is, because it's Alabama. Who knows?
Hate them.
Doug's on the hot seat, man. Is he still, though? Because
now he's number one, so I don't know.
If you thought the college football season was, like, real up and down, the college football video game season is even more up and down.
Yeah, NCAA 14 is wild.
Yeah, they lost two games, last night, and then won a game this morning, and now Doug's is ranked number one.
Yeah, He destroyed Maryland. I didn't even know he played. I woke up and I was like, oh, he played a game.
I think he played two games that night.
No, the first night he just played Maryland.
Just played one, okay.
Yeah. Then the next day he played Virginia Tech again. Yeah. Lost to them.
Still can't do it.
Then put up a 50-burger against UNC and then lost to Florida on a field goal. And then beat Michigan and number 18 Georgia today, and now he's back up to number one with two losses.
Did you see how he lost to Florida exactly?
I did.
Like, he tried to run out the time. Stupid. You just take your touchdown, man. Or you... Because it would have... The worst-case scenario goes to overtime.
Dude, his issue is that he listens. Like, when he plays by himself, I feel like he's better.
No, his defense.
His defense is atrocious. But there was one point... I think it was... I don't remember what game. I think it was the Florida game. And they were trying to get him to... he was like, all right, what play do I do? And they're like, they ran zone, like four-man front zone. And it was third and nine, and the team was trying to run out the clock. They had run two straight downs before that. I was like, they're running the football, blitz, or play man. And they got a first down. They ran it third and nine.
I think he runs man way too often.
Yeah.
Way too often. I'm like, it drives me nuts. I'm like, you're going to get beaten, man, just about every time.
And dude, like, he freaks out when he's about to get, like, sacked.
Oh, yeah.
And he throws a pick every single time.
Yeah. Also, I do appreciate, though, that he takes the I guess, panic breaks when he starts getting agitated. He pauses the game for a minute. Like, I need to learn to do that. Yeah, don't wake the baby. I need to learn to do that. Yeah, though, Coach Doug, he's playing tonight, I think. I don't know who he plays tonight.
Dang, he's playing another game
I think he's playing tonight. Look it up real quick.
Jeez, he's going through the season. We're not even going to have time to tailgate it.
Like I said, I think he's just trying to
get
done with this one because he said he's going to stay at Tennessee for 2 years. So I think he's just...
he had to make good on his word.
Right. I think he's hoping that Wisconsin job opens up. But if he keeps this crap up, though, he's not going to...
Yeah, he ain't getting Wisconsin.
Maybe he'll slow down.
Also, good luck putting up 50 burgers on, Big Ten team.
Yeah, you got to run the ball the whole time?
Yeah.
I guess if you go and recruit the roster for it, though, it's going to be easy to score.
They just kill the clock, so it's...
Let's see. 9 p.m. versus Mizzou. There you go.
Late game.
Yeah.
Late night game. That's like a West Coast game, right? Pretty much. As far as Missouri is.
that'd be an 8 p.m. game in Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah. So not too bad for Missouri.
It's west to us.
Sucks for the East Coast.
Yeah.
Sucks for the East Coast. I've got some questions. You got some?
Yeah, I do. Dustin Sellers has another one. He said, how do you feel about JG's consistency now that he finally has the same coordinator for 2 years? I mean, I think it's a wait and see, but I feel like it definitely helps his case.
Yeah.
Not only having the best coordinator he's had and having him a second year. I think that only helps him.
It certainly won't hurt him. Only time will tell if it helps him. I think his just inconsistency has been so inconsistent. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I think a lot of things have, you know, went against having a bad offensive line, and I'm not taking, you know, making excuses for the kid, but I think that and the offensive coordinator situation, I feel like that's it's kind of been like building up in his mind, and I feel like it's just a head game with JG, and so last year, you know, he finally. There was some kind of interview he did after the Alabama game that was just like, hey, just smile more. Right. And I think his sister told him that. He started doing that, and it seemed to work. So whatever you got to do to elevate your game, do
loosen
it.
Loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, smile a little bit, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys heard anything about fans being in Neyland? Trevor asked this. He also said, love the Titles hat. Appreciate it. It's an awesome hat. I love this one. I kind of forget about it often. It gets left in the closet too much, so happy to wear it. Fans in Neyland, nothing's been said officially. I feel like that's the good news. I feel like the farther we get without them saying anything makes it more likely you get potential. I just don't see how you possibly get 100,000 people in there though.
Yeah.
If you have fans. I've heard a number. That number was 36,000. I don't know exactly what that means though.
Yep.
Is it 36,000 fans, 36,000 people total? I don't know. So, because you do got to consider the sports staff. Media wouldn't get counted in fan when you're talking about fans alone, and then do the people in the suites count towards that because they're not in the bowl. They're I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot to figure out. I mean, I don't. And then like if you have that set number, is it a set number for the whole season or is it game by game? You know, there's going to be a lot of things they need to figure out. But I do think you get some fans to at least see if it works.
Well, I think I should say this. I think no matter what, if you have no fans, I think they'll at least let in. You'll have people in the stadium because I think family will be allowed in.
Okay.
I think that'll be.
That's probably fair.
Unless something drastically changes in the next 2 months, 3 months. So, yeah, I think you'll at least have family there. Also heard, we got this question. This is a fun one. Who's the most overrated coach in each division of the SEC? I think the West is interesting because I think right now you could I think right now it's Mike Leach. I'll say that.
Yeah,
I think so too. Didn't you say that he got somebody put him on like their best coaches in the SEC list?
Yeah, it was like Nick Saban, Ed Orgeron, and Kirby Smart are the elite, and right under that is like really good, and it was like Mike Leach, Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, that's garbage.
Yeah,
and then I think so Mike Leach is my obvious one in the West. I think the guy who could be creeping in there, especially when you're talking about for the money, it's got to be Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah,
$100 million contract, and I'm not convinced he can produce.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I'll be interested to see how good Mike Leach is in the SEC. He's been offensive coordinator at Kentucky, but he also has a Heisman winning quarterback.
Yeah, I think they could be Heisman winning
or Heisman candidate. Sorry,
Kentucky has a Heisman.
Sorry.
I think Mike Leach is gonna, cause some issues in the West and probably make some games more interesting than they ever would be. But he's not gonna win anything significant.
No,
it's not gonna happen. He's not. In the East, I think it's gotta be Will Muschamp. I think a lot of people put stock into Muschamp. He obviously got another job in the SEC somehow. He's not. I mean, he probably should have been fired this past year, honestly. Mm.
I think that's. That's one that I think people are starting to figure out. He's not as good of a coach as they thought he was. I think Dan Mullen's up there. I mean, I think he's done a decent job everywhere he's been, but I don't think he hasn't won anything significant.
He hasn't won anything significant, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he was at Mississippi State.
That's true.
So I feel like he has, probably two more years to make it to an SEC title, and then I think you can definitely call him overrated. I don't think he's as great as people give him credit for right now, but I don't know if I'm willing to call him overrated yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess overrated, but yeah, I don't think he's as overrated as Will Muschamp just because of he's had different challenges than Muschamp. Muschamp was at Florida and was terrible and then got hired again somehow at South Carolina after a lackluster year as a DC at Auburn. He's overrated.
Yeah, he took that old ball coach route.
Yeah, he's overrated.
Yeah, he's not putting together great draft or recruiting. I'm watching the draft. Great recruiting classes, but he, I think he's benefited from Tennessee being down, South Carolina being down, and they, you know, pretty much lose to Georgia.
Yeah, that, I mean, I agree with that. Dan Mullen's definitely, it's Muschamp and Dan Mullen have got to be the obvious choices, I feel like. So.
Yep.
I
would say Gus Malzahn is up there, and I feel like he's always on the hot seat, but everybody he's never fired.
Well,
it's never too hot.
He's played in the SEC. He played in the SEC championship two years ago, I guess.
Right.
So I mean, he's won and he's beat Alabama, which, you know, is something Dan Mullen never did.
Right. Yeah. I mean that's true too, but I don't know.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I feel like
he's always on the hot seat for somebody who's never going to get really fired.
And honestly, he probably shouldn't. It's kind of the thing. It's like, would you rather, and it's a Tennessee situation. You look at Phil Fulmer and, you know, you're frustrated with how he kind of fared against Florida the last couple of years. Would you trade the last 10 years against Florida for the, you know, from 2002 to 2007 Fulmer Florida years? I wouldn't.
Yeah, probably not.
I wouldn't trade that. And I feel like that's the mistake Auburn's going to make, is they're going to trade off 10 years of getting the shit beat out of by Alabama for the last, you know, 5 years under Gus Malzahn, where they've actually beaten Alabama a couple times, played an SEC championship game. So, I mean, could you get a better coach than Gus Malzahn? Potentially. Could you also end up getting a much, much, much worse than Coach Malzahn? Yeah, you could.
Yeah, and it also, it's tough with Auburn because there's nothing at Auburn, really.
I mean, Auburn's a tough place to. I don't know Auburn,
but I mean Alabama is too. But if you're gonna move to Alabama, are you gonna go to Alabama to play for the Crimson Tide or in Nick Saban, or are you gonna go to Auburn and play in the Plains?
It's definitely difficult because in college football, those kids don't for somehow they don't care about it. Because if every kid cared about that, the best players would go to USC every year.
That's true.
So they just want good facilities and to win football games.
Yeah,
but. I did write USC down as one of my overrated teams, now that I said that, because I don't get how they get favored more than Tennessee and don't get listed as. Someone mentioned Chad Morris in here. I think it's too early to call him overrated, or he's late. He's gone. He's gone, yeah. No, Chad Morris was a terrible hire.
Where's he at? He's at
I don't remember. He was terrible.
I think he's a offensive coordinator.
Is he at UIT? I guess we remember talking about USC. Where'd he go? Is he at Auburn?
He is at Auburn.
He's at Auburn?
Yeah, that's right.
See, that's the thing, though. Is he really an offense coordinator there? Like,
no.
Is there an OC that's been at Auburn that's been the OC?
Yeah, it's Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, so.
And then he's got Kevin Steele to
do
the defense.
So. Yeah,
I don't know. That's a good question.
And someone brought up a good point. Well, Muschamp did beat UGA last year, but so did Butch Jones.
Yeah.
So did Butch Jones. So I'm not willing to, like, give him credit for that, but yeah, I don't. Muschamp's overrated. I feel like he's had chance after chance after chance to prove he's a good coach, and he's always just been a mediocre coach at best.
Yeah, I think he's a good defensive mind, but I feel like he lacks a lot of common sense.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to have that head coaching ability. No. So, yeah, And look at the South Carolina, how they finished last year. That UGA game was a fluke.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It was a fluke.
Yeah, they beat him on like a last second field goal, right?
Well, I think it was a field goal in overtime, but I think Goggle Dogs missed one going into overtime, and I think he missed one in overtime.
Yeah, I think Georgia played like their worst game, and South Carolina ended up winning.
Right. And then the question after that, is Kirby underrated? I'm not willing to call Kirby underrated, but I don't think Kirby's overrated either. I think you're looking at a similar situation to Mark Richt. I think he's going to bring in great recruiting classes. I don't know if he's got it to just win the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Especially, like, I just hate Georgia's offense. Like, I hate it. And until they prove that they can...
How much better is it, though, if Justin Fields is running?
So. Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, then you got to think, like, that's Kirby's fault.
Yeah. You got to manage your roster. That's part of being a college coach.
So, yeah, I don't know. Until they learn their lesson with the quarterback situation, I'm not willing to say that they are going to win the whole thing.
Right.
So, he's probably overrated, in my opinion. Or rightly so.
And it helps that the East has been down, but he's I'm not willing to call him overrated just because he has won the most games in the East since he's been here and has played in the SEC championship.
I'll say this. He's not going to be like Nick Saban. No. Like people think he could be.
No, he's not. No. He'll be better than Mark Richt was at UGA, but I'm not convinced he'll win the whole thing. UGA had turnovers and missed kick at the end. Yeah, I know. I think the USC game was a fluke. I do. So, I think you can look at the season and you can say it's not like USC just played that game really well. I think it was a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about one of the best kickers in the SEC. He somehow beat out Smaglia for all SEC when Smaglia had more field goals made and better percentage, I think.
So dumb.
Something like that. But, I mean, he's one of the best kickers in the SEC and has been for 4 years. There's no doubt. So
we had another question. Any update on the Tim Jordan situation? And, therefore, who's going to pull ahead as our leading running back and his Banks out of the equation? Tim Jordan, I don't think he came in right away.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's on campus yet. I haven't heard that.
There's been no update as far as his arrest goes from the athletic department.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But I also don't think he was – I think he was the number three running back.
Anyway.
So, yeah. I don't think it changes much. I think it's still Eric Gray and Ty Chandler there at 1 and 2. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think Eric Gray is number one. You saw that last season. Got to be. He just right. a different kind of back than, you know, no offense to Ty Chandler. He's been good, but I think Eric Gray is an actual legit all-SEC back.
Right.
And then as far as Banks, I think he's back on the team. I don't know. I don't think he's on campus yet.
But I'm going to hesitate for a – let's wait for a announcement, personally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think he's with the team right now. I just think, like, when fall gets here, I think Jeremy Banks will be back.
Right. I think it's a possibility. I just want to – this Alabama fan said that Alabama's 24-0 since 2010 to the SEC East. I mean, in fairness, you have Tennessee as your non-rotating opponent.
And they've been terrible.
Just like how I'm sure Vanderbilt gets whooped up on – I think Ole Miss is there, non-rotating. So that's good for them. But yeah, I mean, we've been terrible the last 10 years. That's not – I hate that. I hope Alabama's terrible the next 10 years. Hope we get to claim something like that. And you've had arguably one of the best coaches in college football history. So I feel like Bama fans are taking away – I feel like they are taking for granted what they have right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Y'all are struggling with the whole Zoom thing.
Yeah. I mean – Gotta get him.
We're catching up with Zoom taking over.
So. Right. Yep. Anything else for a question? I don't think I have any questions.
That's all I got.
Let's jump into our Jumbotron. We got the worst positions to play in sports. I guess that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is just sports, so it's not, you know, sexual. Just unless wanted to point that out.
It could be.
I guess it probably could be.
I'm going to go with the first one, and this one, you know, it's close to my heart. Mm. It is, and that's the kicker position.
Okay.
You get none of the glory and all the blame.
Sure.
Like, because especially with most people in football, like, there are a lot of people in football that, you know, love and respect kickers, but there's a lot that are like, if you hit a game winner, 35-yarder, doesn't matter, pressure, doesn't matter. They're like, you should hit that every time.
Yeah.
And then if you miss it, obviously.
And this is not to be confused with a punter. I think kicker and punter are two totally different things.
No, it is an entirely different position. A place kicker is not a punter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, place kickers kind of get the short end of the stick when it comes to that. And then also, it's just funny that I'm not saying it's harder. It's more difficult than any position on the football field. I don't think that. But I think it has its parts that are just as difficult.
Yeah.
So, especially when you talk about the skill and then the mental. You know, at least for, you know, for a lot of linemen, you're just told to either just block, or just, you know, you're here just to plug the hole on certain plays. So sometimes it can be a lot more mentally taxing than a lot of positions on the field.
Yeah. My first one is a catcher in baseball. That's just like it's the only position I never played growing up was catcher, because I didn't want bad knees growing up. And like, it's already hot when you're playing, like, summer baseball and things like that. Like, today it was, like, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And then you have to sit there in all that gear. And literally, I did put on the stuff one time and just try to practice it. And every time the bat went, like, by my head,
I'd flinch. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's terrifying. No, that's the worst position in
sports. And then a lot of times, also, a catcher, to further your point, you're almost – obviously, especially when you get in the MLB, you're not guessing as much. but you're also guessing a lot where that pitch is going to end up.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in high school when you're talking about guys who cannot control the pitch at all. Yeah. You're sitting there hoping it hits your glove or that you get there in time. So, that can be a terrible position to play. That would be an awful position. When me and my brother throw in the yard, he's always wanting to, when we were younger, he'd always want to like pitch at me. And I'm like, no, because I don't want to eat that ball.
I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, I'm good. My next one was almost like I guess this isn't in the worst position. So I'm not going to say this one. I feel like the most difficult position in all sports has to be a closing pitcher. This isn't my number two. Okay. Because you said worst pitcher or worst position.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel like being a closing pitcher has to, because you come into a game, a lot of times you're in a bind, you're down in the count, stuff like that. Not a lot of the times, but you could be trying to either bring your team back in a game, or you could be really close to your team being out of the game.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's got to be one of the more difficult positions to be in, as in terms of stepping into a game, I guess.
Yeah. I think my next one would be a goalie in hockey.
Yeah, hockey would be difficult. I think goalie period would be terrible.
Yeah, because I mean, like how fast they're hitting that puck. I mean, I don't know how they do it.
And it's a lot of moving parts and pieces
too. And you have all that equipment on. You have the masks. Yeah, it would just be terrible to.
And a goalie, it's a lot kind of like a kicker, especially.
And I can't skate, so it'd be even worse.
I should say goalie in soccer as well. I don't know about. In hockey, but it's a lot like a kicker where you're kind of isolated from the team, and it's much different where you're not always with the team practicing, and then you're kind of on an island by yourself. In soccer and hockey, it's got to go through six people before it scores on you, yet you get the blame when the goal goes in.
Yep.
So
all you.
Yeah, this is my second one because, like I said, I don't think it's the worst. I don't think closing pitcher is the worst. I don't think you have the physical and blame aspect of a catcher, goalie, or kicker. But my next one is, and it probably more has to do with the people around you, because you may be a clean, nice dude, but I feel like offensive lineman is the grossest position on any sport.
I mean, if you're not gross and an offensive lineman, you're not doing it right.
The grossest people you meet have been offensive linemen. And then you can't change my mind.
That's true. I think my next one is kind of a little bit more specific than that, is a guard.
You think it would suck to be an offensive guard?
Just because, like, you're getting a lot bigger guys.
You do, yeah.
So that sucks. And then, like, when you move up, like, what are the first offensive linemen to go? Tackles.
Tackles get the pay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think
underappreciated position as well as a...
And, like, centers, at least they get their nuts rubbed during the game, so...
It's true. They get a little like a
little tap,
little positive to take out with the negative there.
Well, I mean, like, they get to touch the ball at least.
They do. They do. And centers especially depending on the team. They're usually one of the higher paid on the roster for the guards.
Yeah, that sucks. Being a guard would suck.
Right. My last one's got to be just. I was going to make a joke about baseball. I won't do that since it's MLB draft night. I was going to say anybody on the baseball field. Also,
you get four?
Huh? No, I said my closing pitcher was not on.
Oh, Jumbotron. Okay.
I was just talking
about. You're just mentioning it. Okay.
I was spinning it to say it's got to be like one of the toughest positions to play.
100%.
Because the mental aspect and the physical aspect, which I get they get warmed up. But
pitching sucks. I hated pitching growing up. Hated
it. I mean, it can't be an easy. And then also. Okay, if we're going to talk about worst positions, I have the fear, if I was ever going to pitch, of getting a ball. Which I know it's rare when you're talking about how many pitches you throw versus how many times this would happen, but getting a line drive back to the face?
Oh, I took one in the ding-dong.
Did you?
When I was 9 years old in the state tournament. Yeah, I was.
That's nice. Did you, like, you that day on, were you like, I will wear one forever?
Yeah, until I got to, like, high school, I wore a cup all the time.
I feel like that would be worse in high school if you got hit.
I know, but I was just like, dude, it's
uncomfortable.
It's rubbing me.
It's very
uncomfortable. Getting a lot more hair down there. It's rubbing me.
Yeah.
I got hit, like, it knocked me back off the mound, and I almost had to bat, and I was sitting in the dugout with a bag, like a loaf of bread bag.
Yeah.
And ice, just like sitting in the dugout, just on it, on my nuts.
Yeah, that would, and then they sent you up to bat?
Well, if the next guy didn't strike out, I'd have to bat. So thank God for that kid that struck
out. Did you all lose?
Yeah, we lost. So not only did I lost because I took one to the nuts, but then we lost the game too.
And the guy got on first?
Yeah. I actually don't know.
I feel like he had to get on first. Or did you get up?
Unless it rolled right to the first baseman or right back to the catcher. Because it sounded like a gunshot.
Oh, okay. You were wearing a cup. I forgot about that part. That's good. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I had a nice little purple ring around my junk for a little bit.
Yeah, that would be awful. So, my last one, though, I'm going to go with this one hits close to home as well. I'm going to go with the center mid because you just run so dang much.
Yeah,
like, I know in high school when they're like, because I played 80 freaking five different positions every game, they'd be like, Caleb, you're starting a center mid tonight. God bless. I'm going to be tired after this. This is going to suck. Especially when we played a good team. I remember one time we played Harden Valley, and I just felt like I was just chasing the ball around the whole day.
It's like a dog.
Yeah, just like... I didn't play on a very good team, so it's like I didn't have any help either, so that was very frustrating. But
you're good, right?
I mean, I was good. I had an assist.
About the rest of y'all, but I was good.
That was I still have like nightmares of just like, it's kind of why I don't like playing adult league, because I'm so out of shape. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Caleb, you have to play center mid. I'm like, God, like, if I play center mid really well, I'll run 5 miles a game if I play really well.
5 miles, play really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's a trade-off that I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I tracked it one time on my watch, and I ran, I guess I only know for sure that I ran 5 miles one time.
My Lord.
It was awful. And it was in the middle of summer. I was like, I'm going to kill myself. This is terrible.
Yeah,
it sucks. And now I play golf and ride around in a cart. It's much more fun. You all should try it.
Should.
Stupidity. I've got a few.
My first one is Kentucky tweeting the graphic out that says brick by brick.
Dude, yeah, why are teams still using that?
Yeah, have you not learned?
Like, wasn't that like a prominent thing Tennessee got made fun of for?
Yeah, after that commercial where literally...
the Farmer Charlie one?
Yeah, Butch Jones is laying brick. That should be like, okay, mark that off the list. We'll never use that.
Do you think he's built a mailbox for Nick Saban yet?
Probably.
Nick's like, you're pretty good at that, right?
Especially during quarantine, he's like, hey man, I'm gonna need you to come over here.
Getting all the projects done.
Yeah.
I've got golf.com for my first one. They tweeted peak Tiger versus peak Rory. Whoops. Who do you think is the better golfer? Or was the better golfer? That's not even... Peak Tiger is better than anybody. Like, and then peak Rory isn't even effing close. Let alone, like, nobody else should be in the conversation with Tiger. Peak Rory is not close.
Yeah,
not
that's...
Not close. I did like how they...
I don't even watch golf, I knew. That was stupid.
I do like how they owned up to it. They said, hey, Twitter, can we get a mulligan button? I was like, that's pretty funny. They owned up to the stupidity, so well, I do appreciate good. That.
My next one is Norm Wood. He's verified. I think he rides for Virginia Tech.
His name's Norm Wood?
Yeah. So, not only does he have, like, an auto-generated name... off NCAA 14, but he tweets about NCAA 14. He says, I like playing NCAA football 14 as much as the next goofball. Weird. But I won't be following or tweeting about, beyond this tweet, the exploits of another goofball playing a video game against a fake version of one of the programs I cover. Not helping some dude sell t-shirts. Hashtag Hokies. So he mentions that he's not tweeting about it. He is tweeting about it. And then he says he likes to play as much as the next goofball.
Yeah, and why are people goofballs for playing video games?
Yeah, well, can this guy not find another name? He mentions goofballs twice.
Oh, he does say goofballs twice?
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Exploits another goofball playing a video game. And then I think Big Cat replies and is like, you're a goofball.
I'm just like, here's my question. If you don't like it, why are you tweeting about it?
Yeah, who
like,
cares?
Don't care. It's sufficient enough to not care. Now this is actually along the lines of the Coach Doug's. Someone tweeted, how the F is Barstool Big Cat Dynasty QB that he completely made up verified? I mean, I guess you're not following along because I guess you don't know Caleb Presley's a, like, he makes names that are people at Barstool.
Yeah.
That he's a real person, and Caleb Presley just changed his profile picture to a video game. You should probably pay more attention. Again, this is where I just tweet before you think. Don't be stupid.
Yeah. So this guy, I feel like he's the Wes Rucker of Virginia Tech. Because Barstool says, imagine being lame as Norm Wood, and has like a little article about it. And then he quotes tweets it and says, imagine being so insecure as a supposed heavy hitter in the blogger world, you care this much about a throwaway critique. Speaks volumes. So you were tweeting about it.
He said he didn't tweet. Wasn't going to tweet about it, but now you.
This is a little double. Yeah,
this
just,
is you're
just
getting
bad.
Just, yeah,
you're digging yourself a hole, man. Yep. Just let it be. Norm Wood.
If you don't care, just don't tweet about
dude,
it,
dude. Like that is the. I don't know. I just hate that name.
Yeah, that name,
I hate
it. That Norm Wood guy pisses me off.
Norm, that like you have an old man that eats the school ice cream.
Yeah, that's. That's bad.
Like, you eat the Food City brand ice cream. You get the tub. Norm Wood. Goofball.
Goofball. It is a goofball. I'm going back to the PGA tournament, or PGA Tour, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, they so they're chartering a jet for players and caddies to take from city to city as part of its return to tournament play plan. So here are the rules. No alcohol.
That sucks.
Which
I'm out.
If your company is chartering a jet, like why would you not just let people enjoy themselves on said charter jet?
I'm out.
$600 per seat.
Definitely out.
What? I just don't get that.
I got to pay $600 and I don't get to drink alcohol. Yeah, that sounds like a terrible.
There's room for 114 people. Again, why are you charging $600 per seat but your only allowance? I don't know. Just. If I'm a PGA player, I'm traveling by myself at this point. Especially because the top guys can afford to do private planes. Here's the only one that I like. The two that I do like. These are not stupidities. I'll give them the benefit of this doubt. But it said, availability prioritized by player's rank. I like that. Best players get a seat first class. That's the way the world works, man.
Oh, player rank. I like it.
Yeah. And then the tournament winner gets a first class seat.
Okay.
Every time.
How many first class seats are there?
Well, so I think
only one.
So like you wouldn't always a top ranked player wouldn't always win.
Okay.
So if you're not in the top, you know, 25 or however many first class seats there are,
okay,
you would then get bumped to first class.
Okay.
So I like it. I like that.
So you can climb the hierarchy.
They would be really pissed off when I won in, you know, when I won the tournament. It was like, I'm not going because I want to get drunk and not be on this plane with other people. So.
So Dennis Rodman would never be on this plane. Let's just throw that out there.
Yep.
That's
bad. No, he would not be happy about that plane ride. Did you see, speaking of, you know, the Bulls and Dennis Rodman, did you see Michael Jordan fish caught, or boat caught that marlin?
Yeah.
Like a 400-pound marlin?
I think I'll leave for the beach here in the... So the kid from Tennessee just got selected by the Padres.
Oh, nice. How old is he? I'm just kidding. They were showing his... You all can't see it, so that joke wasn't funny to you. They were showing his Little League World Series highlights.
From Independence, Robert Hassel III. Yeah, he does go to Independence, no doubt. What were we talking about?
Fishing. Are you going deep sea fishing?
Yeah, I think nice. Me and Raven are going to go deep sea fishing while we're at the beach. We've done the dolphin tour and different stuff like that. I think we went to Topgolf one time, so I think this is going to be our big thing.
Yeah, deep sea fishing. I've never been. I don't really care to go, though. So
I think we're just doing the 4-hour, not like the 8-hour.
Do the all day. Show up at like sunrise.
Die.
Yeah, I get sunburned to hell.
Because I feel like I'm going to go out there and not catch a thing, so I don't want to go full 8 hours and not catch a thing.
Right.
At least I have something to blame it on. Oh, if I was out there another hour, I would have got it.
We would get something.
Yeah.
If I pay that much money and don't catch anything, I'm gonna be pissed off. I'll tell you that. So
yeah, I want my money back.
That's all I got for stupidity. Anything else?
That's all I got,
guys. I want to thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. It's been a great show. Hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can follow Volunteer Roadshow on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook as well. Make sure you do that. Hit like, share, retweet. You know, whatever you can be looking for those giveaways coming out soon.
Yeah. And just in a few minutes, hopefully you hear Garrett Crochet's name. Yep. We'll see where he lands. I'm sure that team will get a lot more fans headed their way. That's all we got. Check out our sponsors, Bet Now, T Tennessee Tap House, and Hound Dogs. That's all we got. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.